Man, after that, I'm not even sure I want to preach. I want to just keep singing. That was beautiful. Thank you guys for that wonderful time of worship through song. So as we look at Philippians 4, verse 8, we're moving on to the idea of whatever is admirable. Now, in looking at this and looking at the admonitions that Paul gives in Philippians 4, 9, so I'm going to read it again for you. It says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So there's an idea of learning from what we've learned, right? So like I've been taught a lesson, or maybe it's something that I've been given, right? Like a talent, an ability. If I have something that I've received, if there's something that I can look at that I watch someone else do, right? And these are the things that Paul is saying. If these different ways of learning have impacted you, if there's something in my life that you've needed to see, I want you to put those things into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And so as I was looking at the idea of whatever is admirable, it breaks down from two basic Greek words. The first one is eu, eu, which means good, well, or well done. That's not talking about a steak. You know, I prefer mine medium rare anyways. Amen. But good, well, or well done, okay? And then feme, which is saying or report. So whatever is of a good report, put into practice. Now, what's interesting about this word is that this Greek word is only used once in the entire Bible. The idea of whatever is admirable, only one time. But the good news is the Greek word eu, which we translate good, well, or well done, is used multiple times. And it is used in probably one of my favorite parables. It is used in the parable of the bags of gold, which is why we have these nice pretty bags of gold up here, so you guys don't lose focus on the awesomeness of the gold bag. But the thing that stood out to me about this starts in the passage of Matthew 25, verse 21. It says, his master replied, well done. That is our word you, okay? Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Okay? Now, I don't know about you. I want God to admire me. Amen. Shouldn't that be our goal? Like, I want God to look at me as his son and say, you know, I really admire John. I really admire the life that he lives. I admire the work that he does. I admire who he is as my child. Don't you want the same? Okay? And in this parable in particular, this is God saying, this is what I admire. This is what is well done. What is admirable. And so, as I was looking at this and considering this passage, I thought, how do we get to well done? How do we get to the point where God looks at us and says, well done? And the starting point begins with a task. It begins with a task. I want you to understand something. Our tasks in life are all God-given. Do you understand that? Our tasks in life are all God-given. Everything that you have, everything that you're able to do, everything that makes up who you are was given to you by God. And so The thing is, as we look at how do we get to that well done, we have to start the journey, right? I've always loved the idea of every journey begins with first step, right? So in Matthew 25, we see the beginning of this parable. It says in verse 14 and 15, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey." Now, there's some key things about this passage that we need to understand. The first of which is what I just said, that every gift you are given is God-given. And the thing is, when we look at this parable, the man wasn't sending out people that he didn't know, right? Or he wasn't giving responsibility to people who had no connection with him. These were his servants. These were the people that worked for him, that worked with him. And when we recognize this and we see that God has given us these responsibilities, it should cause something to happen inside of us. That's why Paul says in Colossians 3:23, don't work as if you're working for men, but work as though you are working unto the Lord. When we became servants of God, we gave up the idea of working for our own benefit. We gave up the idea of being able to do things the way that we want to do them. We were forced by our admission that I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, that I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I'm going to do what the Master wants me to do. And the Master gave each one a responsibility. Do you realize that? It doesn't say like, well, he gave the one guy 5 bags of gold, and then he gave another guy 2 bags of gold, and he gave another guy 1 bag of gold based on their ability, and then he gave the guy who he knew was like not going to be able to accomplish anything, nothing. Do you realize that? He didn't give anybody no responsibility. Each and every servant of Christ is given a responsibility. They are given their bag of gold. And the reality is that when we start to understand and get a clear perspective of who we are working for, it should really matter. I don't know about you, I like getting good reports at work. I always feel a lot better when my bosses come back to me and we're graded from 1 to 5 there at TSA. I am always much happier when the boss comes back with a bunch of 4s and 5s than I am if he comes in and says, here's your 3s. I'm much happier. Why? I want my boss to be proud of my work. I want to know that he looked and he saw somebody that actually cared and put the effort forward. That matters to me. But it matters more that God sees me that way. It matters more to me that when I lay my head down on the pillow at the end of the night, that I look and I'm able to say, God, I did my best for you today. God-given responsibility requires God-given effort. And he's promised that God will give us the ability. Listen to this. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork. What does it mean to be handiwork? We've got enough people who work in construction to know what handiwork is. It's when you take something and you make it into something. So whether that's taking wood and turning it into a cabinet, whether that's taking paint and turning it into a beautiful wall, a beautifully coated wall, that's your handiwork. You did it. You look and you go, man, that is a fine cabinet, or if I build it, man, it's good enough. But it's your handiwork. And that's what God says you are. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for you to do. Do you see what that just said? God made good work for you. You were giving good work. That is your bag of gold. He has shaped you, molded you, and made you for a purpose. Isn't that beautiful? Whatever God puts in front of me to do, I can do it to the best of my ability. And do you know why? Because God created me to do it. I am his handiwork. And for each of us, when we are given these responsibilities, there is a part and a purpose for everyone in the church. In Romans 12, verses 4 through 8, it says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Isn't that awesome? We belong together. We are a family. We're not just some group of people that sits in here on Sunday. God joined and knit us together. We belong to each other. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is in giving, give generously. If it is leading, do it diligently. If it is showing mercy, do it cheerfully. Each of us is equipped in some way. Now, this list is not all inclusive, because if it was, there'd definitely be a prayer warrior list. Amen? This list is not all inclusive, but each and every one of you have been gifted by God to contribute to this church, to be a part of this body, to build each other up, to strengthen each other. This is a God-given responsibility. And each of us sitting in this room has a responsibility to encourage, edify, and strengthen one another with those gifts. Now, we'll be tempted to resist our tasks. We will. There's days I wake up and I think, I don't want to be a minister anymore. Because it's a lot of responsibility. It's not an easy thing. There's days that it's overwhelming and discouraging. But the reality is this is what God equipped me to do. And I will say, you guys make it easier. I appreciate it. I get a lot of good encouragement and a lot of positive feedback, and I really appreciate all of you. But the reality is that when we get these gifts and these talents, there are going to be times that we're afraid to take those on. You remember when we were doing the Zoom church meetings, like when it was all Zoom, and we were talking kind of about this, and we talked about how Moses reached that point, how God came to him and said, "Hey, I got a job for you. I want you to go free my people." And he's like, "Oh, no thanks. No, I got other things. I got these poor sheep. What am I going to do? If I can't be here for these poor little sheep, who's going to tend the sheep, God? Oh, I got all these people I need freed, Moses. Come on. Oh, I'm not a good speaker. That's not really my thing. Talking to the old Pharaoh thing, that doesn't work for me." Why did he do that? He was afraid. He had tried before. Do you remember that? Moses fled from Egypt because he killed a master of a Hebrew slave who was beating the Hebrew slave. He had already tried to do the job and came up wanting. He was afraid to take the job again. He was afraid to step out into it. He was afraid to be bold. The gifts and the talents that we have are not always easy things to do. And there will be times when they feel like a burden, when they feel difficult. But the thing is that God has promised that He's equipped us for this work. He's given us what we need to withstand, to be strong, to hold to our faith when fears assail, when difficulties come. We also become afraid because it challenges us to be different, right? I love being saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't always love doing things His way. It's just the reality of the flesh that lives in me. There's times I want to do what John wants to do. I want to live how I want to live. I want to go where I want to go. I want to do what I want to do. And when I submit to the tasks that God lays before me, it means giving up things that I had before. It means giving up time that used to be my time. It means giving up freedoms that used to be my freedoms. I have to watch more so, I feel, what I say. You should all watch what you say, by the way, but I feel like I have to be more so accountable for that because I represent God. I represent you. I represent the church in Aurora. And the things that come out of my mouth, the things that I say in my community, the things that I post on my social media reflect on my Savior. I don't have the freedom to say everything that I think in my mind. It's probably a good thing. But it comes with sacrifice. There is no service that you're going to provide for the church that does not come with sacrifice. But God is giving you the ability to withstand. Unfortunately, this fear overtook the man with the one bag of gold. In Matthew 25, verses 24 through 25, it says, "Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.'" Uh-oh. That fear shut him down. Do you think God wanted back what He gave him? Do you think that was the concern? He wanted him to have the opportunity to be fruitful for the house. He wanted him to have the opportunity to be fruitful for the kingdom. And that man squandered it. He squandered it. We get one life. Only one. And the older I get, the quicker those days go. Feels like just yesterday I was 2 weeks away from my new schedule at TSA, and bam, here we are, started tomorrow. Time is fleeting. And God has given us responsibility. He wants you to use what He has given you. Sometimes we think it's okay not to use our gifts and our skills because we think we're only hurting ourselves. I've heard that quite a bit. Well, the only one I'm hurting is me. It's not true. It's not true. Because God equipped you to be something in this church. He equipped you to serve somewhere in this church. And if you're not sure what gifts and talents you have, please talk to me. I have ways of helping you figure that out so that we can get you to work. But the reality is that every day is fleeting. And when we are in a mindset where we don't take seriously what God has given us, time ticks away and we look and we go, what did I do? look at all this time that was wasted. Look at the gifts that I have that never got used. And God was not pleased. In Matthew 25, verses 26 through 27, it says, his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant, so you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put the money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. God was not pleased with his servant because he wants us to be fruitful, to produce. And what you don't realize is that when you allow yourself to be crippled, when you allow yourself not to use the gifts, talents, and abilities that God gave you, you are crippling this body. When people disappear for long periods of time from our church family, they hurt our church family. I mean, it's completely understandable at this point right now why we still have people on Zoom. But it hurts missing certain people here. Their energy, when they're not here, hurts us, doesn't it? And each of us adds something to this body. God wants us to accept the responsibilities that he lays out for us. Take responsibility for who you are and for your life. Take responsibility for becoming who God wants you to be. Because that is the beginning point. That is where the rubber meets the road, is saying, God, you gave me this talent. I accept it. Don't hide from it. Don't resist it. Be willing to go the path that God leads you. Because I promise you, no matter how afraid you are or no matter what kind of fear you're experiencing right now, it's not nearly as bad to go through it, to push through, to fight through your fear, to be who God created you to be, as to look on that last day and have your Savior say, you wicked servant. You wicked and lazy servant. Whatever is admirable, I want to be admired by my God. But I can't say that if I don't put in the work. It's not that he stops loving me. This is not a love-based thing. Is everybody clear on that? God doesn't stop loving you if you mess up. But he admires the people who take the responsibility he gives them. Do you understand that? And Jesus was willing to accept his task. I love that. I love this passage too, because we're going to see our magic word you come up again. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, listen. Are you guys listening? Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. So Jesus did it. Why? To take on the task, to fulfill all righteousness. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that very moment it opened up, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And the voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Well-pleased is the word eudokeo, that means good, well, or to think and seem. So it seemed to God, based off of the choice of Jesus to accept the responsibility, that he was admirable. He admired his son, who had lived on this earth for 30 years like any other man, being willing to step up to the plate and say, I'm willing to do this. Why? To fulfill all righteousness, to do what is right in the eyes of God. We see that Jesus, after this, goes, we see in Matthew 4, verses 1 through 2, that Jesus goes into the wilderness for 40 days, where he's tempted by Satan. 40 days is an important number. It is the exact same number of days that Moses was up on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments. And to these Hebrew people that were reading the Gospel of Matthew, that is what they would have associated that 40 days with, was Jesus receiving the commands from God about what he was to do with his life. And Jesus would go in Matthew 4, verse 17, and it says this, "From that time on, he began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" Baptism was where his journey started. Baptism was the place where Jesus set off on his mission and his purpose to become the Redeemer of the world. At that point, all he'd done was accept the task. He'd been willing. And that's the beginning point for you and me too, to accept the task. Are you willing today to accept that task? Are you willing to look at your life, to look at your talents, your abilities, your gifts, and recognize that they are God-given? Are you willing to accept that God has equipped you with these gifts? Are you willing to set aside your fear and be who God created you to be? Because that's the starting point. That's the beginning point of God's admiration, is when his people believe him and they accept what he says. Now we'll move on to more starting next week of what it means to be admirable to God. But just this week, I'm going to encourage you, be prayerful. Ask yourself genuinely, who did God equip me to be? What can I be for the body of Christ so that I can be strengthened and I can strengthen others? It's the starting point of admiration. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just thank you for the fact that even though we are broken sinners, even though we have fallen way short of your glory, and that without the sacrifice of your Son, that there would be no hope for us ever having a restored relationship with you. That even in the midst of all that, that you shared through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through this parable, that we can be admired by you. That you enjoy watching your people do what is admirable. And Lord, today, we talked about the starting point, that the starting point is accepting responsibility for the gifts, talents, and abilities that we have. And Lord, I pray that you open that door for us. Lord, you've made the commitment to us that when we give our lives to you, when we are baptized, when we die to ourselves, when we're buried with you, and when we rise to a new life, that we become your servants. That we receive the forgiveness of sins, that we receive your Holy Spirit, that we are clothed in your Son. And when we become yours, Lord, we are given these tasks. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone who has not taken upon themselves the call to be your servant, that today will be that day, that they will commit their lives to you, because you have promised you will provide us all the things that we need to be fruitful. And Lord, I pray for all of us here today that we are open and willing to look and evaluate who you created us to be so that we can contribute and be a part of your body, that we use our gifts and our talents to honor you. But Lord, I pray this week that our focal point will just be accepting the tasks that you've given us and being ready to move in them. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for this time of worship. And Lord, we just pray if there's anyone who has any needs that they'll feel free to reach out so that we can pray for them or to help them make the choices they need to be faithful, obedient children of yours. We pray all this in your Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen.